We're glad to see each one here tonight and give you a warm welcome. And trust that tonight you may go out of this hall rejoicing in the knowledge of your sins forgiven, having come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to look at the Gospel of John in chapter 16. I just want to read one verse in John's Gospel, chapter 16. And I'm putting it down as an important question. And really, after all that we've heard at the conference this weekend, I think each one here has heard the Gospel before. And much has been made of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's beloved Son. And that God today is speaking only in His Son, only by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if one wants to be in heaven, and we trust each one here wants to be in heaven, the place of bliss and happiness, that they'll come to Lord Jesus Christ, for He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. That is, by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you're to be in heaven tonight, it will only be by your trust and faith, resting upon the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 16 and verse 31. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Do ye now believe? You see, in these 2 days of conference meetings, there has sufficient been said for anyone here to put their trust and simply rest upon One who is so glorious, who is so mighty, who so humbled Himself, and gave His life upon Calvary's cross, that you could simply rest. You're all in Him, knowing that He will save you to the uttermost. You put your trust in Him. You see, questions abound in the Gospel of John. In the first chapter alone, there are 10 questions. Most of them were put to John. Who art thou? Art thou Elijah? What then? And you know, there are questions that were placed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's questions that the Lord Jesus Christ answered or asked. And this is a question the Lord Jesus Christ asked of the disciples. And I want to apply it to you tonight. Do ye now believe? You see, the Gospel is set forth very plainly and very clearly. For we have here a plain question, do you now believe? And you think of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as unfolded in Scripture, is it not plain? Is it not simple? God doesn't try to use confusing words, but He sets it forth in His clearness and His simplicity. With respect to the Lord Jesus Christ, He says, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. John, as he saw Him coming, he said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Beareth away the sin of the world. You see, it wasn't great complicated things, but it was to turn everyone's eyes to a person, to gaze intently upon Him, and see that He is the Lamb of God. He is the one to pay the great price for sin. And once He has paid that price for sin, there will be no more sacrifice. There will be no more offering. For God is totally satisfied in the offering of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that because He raised Him from the dead. And now He's ascended and set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. You know, each one of us here, we go to school sometime in our life. And we go to school to learn the 3 R's. Reading, writing, and arithmetic. They shorten the last one. And that is so that we can be educated and that we can function in this world. We turn to Scripture, and we have God's school, and we have God's 3 R's. God's 3 R's for each one of us. The first one is man's ruin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All takes in each one of us, from the youngest until the oldest. It takes in whether we're good or whether we're bad. It says all have sinned. You see, Scripture would tell us, first of all, that we're sinners by birth. Whereas by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And then we're sinners by practice. All we have to do is look at our life. No matter how good we are, no matter how obedient we are, I'm sure we can look in our life and we can see things that we have done wrong. And it's because we're sinners by practice. And you know, the greatest sin of all is that of unbelief. The greatest sin of all is not trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, in Revelation, it gives a list of those that are really what we would call a society awful. But you know, there are certain ones classified with them. It says that the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You notice the company that the fearful, those that are afraid to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the unbelieving, those that refuse to accept Him as their Savior, the company that they are put with. They're put with the abominable. They're put with warmongers, murderers, with sorcerers and idolaters. And it says, because they will not believe, because they will not accept the Lord Jesus Christ their Savior, they will consign themselves to the lake of fire. Because you see, God would gather all of us together, all the people to Himself. When the Lord Jesus Christ looked upon Jerusalem, He could say, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee, how I would have gathered thee, as a hen doth gather her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. You see, He would have gathered all of Israel to Him, but it says, ye would not. And our opening hymn tonight was, Come. Come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Come is the sweet invitation of grace. Come unto Jesus, the soul's resting place. And so we have God's remedy for man's ruin. Man is ruined. Man is depraved. Man is fallen. And man is on the road down to hell and to destruction because of sinners by birth and sinners by practice. But God looked down from heaven and seeing us in all our need and seeing that we could not save ourselves, seeing our great need, He gave us the remedy. The second R, God's remedy. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, worthy of your acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul could add, of whom I am chief. And sure, if the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of our New Testament, could say that he is the chief, then surely there is salvation here available for each one. And God would have each one to be saved. God would have each one to know that His remedy is for each one. But there, with the remedy, there's man's responsibility. It says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You see, when you go to school, everything's presented to you, but you still have to learn it and take it in and make it your own. The same is true with the gospel, is to realize that you are a sinner in God's sight. That because of your sins, you cannot enter heaven, because nothing that defileth can enter therein. Then to recognize that God has provided a remedy, and God has provided a wonderful remedy tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ, His own beloved Son, the one who willingly left the splendors of glory, where He was worshipped by angels, where He had everything at His disposal, willingly to come down to this earth, to walk upon the sands of this earth, to go all the way to Calvary's cross, and to lay down that sinless, spotless life, that you and I could have life everlasting. My, the wonder of God to send His Son to die for sinful ones such as you and I, that we could know our sins forgiven, that we should not perish but have everlasting life. My, it is a very plain question. But now the responsibility is each one of ours to recognize that we're lost, to recognize that
that is God's remedy. That God is only speaking in His Son.
That except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. One can nowise enter in, except one be born again. And that only comes by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, resting upon His finished work, and believing that He died for me. You see, it's fine to say that all have sinned, but it comes to the point that I must say, I have sinned. Like the prodigal son, I have sinned, and no more worthy to be called thy son. And then, to recognize that not only Jesus died for the world, for it does say that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And He did die for the whole world. But it says, whosoever. And as we often say with the children, whosoever, that means me. It's to realize that the gospel is for me tonight, in my great need, that that's who Christ came to die for. Not the world. He came for me. And everyone in the meeting tonight that is on the way to heaven rejoicing in the knowledge of sins forgiven came to the point when they realized there was nothing in themselves that could save them. And they recognized they were sinners and that Jesus died for me. The way they came may be different, but every one of us was saved on the same basis. Jesus died for me. The acceptance of our responsibility and putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a practical question, isn't it? You see, we provide for our future. We get our education. We see that we have pension plans. Up in Canada, we see that we have our medical. A little more expensive down here. But we provide for the future. And it says a prudent man will lay these things to heart. He will provide for his future. Why is it a practical question? It says that he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Tonight, do you believe? Do ye now believe? What are you waiting for? You know, when it comes to selling goods, my business is accounting and taxation. But you know, part of the business is to develop new business. And you can go out and you can talk to people and you can tell them all that you can do for them. But it comes to the point you have to say, can I have the work? Can I do it for you? And tonight we offer you Christ as your Savior. Do you now believe? Will you take Him as your Savior? Or is that not the gospel? The offering of Christ upon Calvary's cross. And now the invitation goes out to each one to accept Him as their own and personal Savior. We now believe. And we trust that tonight you will accept the invitation. You know, in the Old Testament, there's the story of Rebekah, who Abraham desired a wife for his son Isaac. And he sent his servant to the far country. And he found the woman that God had brought out, or pointed out to him. But it came the point in time that the question had to be put. Wilt thou go with this man? You see, telling all the glories and the majesty of Isaac, and what a wonderful person he is, and what a great husband he would make, was all fine. But you know, you can go on for a long time in that way. But the question finally had to be put. Wilt thou go with this man? And she answered, yes, I will go. What about you tonight? Will you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you accept Him as your Savior? Will you rest upon His finished work and know your sins forgiven? For the promise is there. It says, Him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. You know, the Bible speaks of election. And election is a family secret. And some people say, well, I don't know if I'm elected to be saved. Well, a brother in the meeting at home, Dave McGaughey, this question came up one time and he said, you'll never know if you're elected unless you stand for election. You've got to present yourself. Well, that's what we want you to do tonight. Present yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ in all your sinfulness. And like the publican, say, God, be merciful. We need a sinner. You know, the man took that upon his lips. And it says he went down to his house justified. Justified with God. He took his place as a guilty sinner. He saw that there's no merit in him. And he put his trust in one beyond himself. God be merciful to be the sinner. He recognized that it was without him, without himself. It's one at God's right hand, who is the one that is able to save, and is able to save for the uttermost, all that come unto God by him. But it's also a personal question. We touched on this. Do ye now believe? You see, as you sit there on the seat tonight, the gospel is going forth not for the one beside you, not for the one behind you, not for the one in front of you, for you. For you in the meeting tonight, do ye now believe? You know, it came to the Philippian jailer and he says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And the plain and clear answer came ringing down from Paul and Silas, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so we have a very personal question. We quoted the first part of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And there is the personal part. Whosoever. Did Christ come into the world? That's a fact, yes. Did Christ die on a cross outside of Calvary? Yes. Why did he die? He died that mankind who was lost in their sin and ruin could be redeemed to God, could know their sins forgiven. Is it available to everyone in the world tonight? Yes. For it says God so loved the world that he gave. But it's only for whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so tonight we would direct you to the Lord Jesus Christ in your personal need. For salvation is personal. You have to become selfish tonight. Selfish for yourself. That I must have salvation above all else. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. God will bless those who put their trust in him. We've heard it may not be a path of total bliss. But it'll be a path of blessing, knowing sins forgiven, and knowing one made right with the God of heaven. And so we have, it is personal, but it's a pressing question. He says no. And scripture says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, behold, now is the accepted time, behold, now is the day of salvation. It says, boast not thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. No one here in the meeting tonight knows how long their life is. It says our life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. My, each one of us, as we get older, it seems the older you get, the more you reflect back. And it seems like only a short time ago, when you were playing, when you're going to school, and time marches on. It seems only yesterday. And things that you thought you were going to do are still left undone. And it's the same way with salvation. And one day it may be too late. The door will be shut. And that's why God impresses upon us the urgent need of now. Come now, he says. Let us reason together. Though your sins be of scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wolves. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Why the urgency? The gospel's been going forward for almost 2,000 years. But why the urgency of the gospel tonight? The urgency of pressing home the question, do ye now believe? Because of three things. One, death is on your track.
It is appointed unto men once to die.
But after this, the judgment. And the question comes tonight, how will you meet God? If you're to walk out of this building tonight, and to go out into eternity, will you meet God as Father? The Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or will you meet the Lord Jesus Christ as your Judge? You say, depart from me, for I never knew you. No place in earth, in heaven for you. So death is on the track of each one of us. It also says in Scripture that the Lord is coming. And when is He going to come? If I read my Bible correctly, it could be at any moment. All things before are fulfilled for the Lord to come and to take His people home, those that have put their trust in Him, those that have had a time in their life when they knew that the Lord Jesus Christ became their Savior. And if the Lord was to come tonight, your opportunity would be gone. And gone forever. It could be tonight. We await that day. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive shall be caught up together with them. And ever be with the Lord. I wonder tonight, will you go with your parents? Will you be in heaven to complete that circle? What a joyous time it will be to know one's sins forgiven and to complete that circle. He could come tonight. Are you ready? But last of all, in Genesis, it says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Tonight, God is pleading with your soul that you would come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Savior. That you'd come unto Him, the soul's resting place. That you'd put all your trust in Him. For He does not promise that His Spirit will always strive with your soul. And what if tonight God's Spirit ceased to strive with you and left you alone? Oh, my friend, don't trifle with God's offer of salvation. Do you now believe? Wilt thou not accept this man to be your Savior, to go on your way rejoicing, knowing your sins forgiven? Come on, the Lord Jesus Christ will be saying, the time is.